Welcome, welcome, and welcome, everybody. It's Rob Scarry Show. We are live. And as we are talking to you, there is a shootout in Bangladesh. Yes, in Bangladesh's, I guess the capital, where the U.S. Embassy is. Dhaka. I think I'm seeing it on the wire as we're going to broadcast. So probably another terrorist attack. They're just a little late. Remember, Ramadan is over. At least I thought it was over. I thought it was June. Yesterday was the last day of Ramadan. At least that's what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of our terrorist friends who listen to this show, maybe some of them could call us up. Our terrorist buddies. Maybe they could hit us up and they could tell us. No, we've got a few more days to kill. So it's a shootout in Bangladesh. We don't know what's going on. But if Ramadan ended yesterday, they're like a day late. They're like the lazy terrorists. They're like the lazy ones. They're the ones that are like, brother, we've got to go now, brother. No, let's just sit back for another couple hours, brother. And then they fall asleep. They get high on opium and fall asleep. And now they're like, oh, brother, it's July 1st, brother. We better go now. We're just a day late, brother. We're just a day late. I don't know if it's a terrorist attack. They're saying a hostage situation in a restaurant. I don't know. I can't keep track of all of this this terror activity. I can't. All right. Well, it is July 1st. Damn it. Man, I can't believe how fast these days and these months are going. Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be Katie's birthday in 9 days. And then my birthday will be in like 24 days. I'm going to be, I think, 44. I keep thinking I'm 42 and I'll be 43. But I think I'm going to be 44. See, I was born in 73. So 73. Let's see. That's 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be 44. Bad. Yuck. All right, so the media, I love it. I love when they get flustered. I love when they get flustered because they have no choice but to cover a story that they don't want to cover. I love it. Because watching them cover this this Lynch and Clinton meeting, it's like watching somebody handle a baby's poop-filled diaper that turned up nose that it's like you got to do it. You know, you can't let your kid wallow in its own poop, but you don't want to. You know, you're not like, oh, I'm so excited, I get to change poopy diapers. Yeah. So you don't want to. If you could just have somebody there changes poop diapers, you would have them there. Like, that's all they do. It's like poop-filled diaper, and you click your fingers, and there's this, like, mythological fairy, like maybe like Golem, you know, something magical. When they just change the poop-filled diaper, and then they disappear. That's what the media was yesterday. And they're still today. I mean, they're just glad it's a Friday. They're glad that it can just kind of drift off into the weekend. They're glad Congress isn't in session because they'd be just losing their minds. Remember, we would never have known about this. It wasn't CNN. It wasn't ABC. Well, it was ABC, but it wasn't Stephanopoulos. It wasn't their A-team. It was like a local reporter that was on the beat. You know, somebody had to tip them off. You know, somebody had to have tipped the local reporter out there in Phoenix that Clinton was going to be meeting Lynch. You know, somebody tipped it off. And they couldn't tip off CNN, or they couldn't tip off NBC or MSNBC. Because they wouldn't have covered it. They would have tried to figure out a way to spin that meeting. They would have came up with a cover story so that when they covered it, everything was lined up to create a narrative. I mean, look what happened today. They marched Jonathan Capar out. Marched Jonathan Capar out to do a impromptu interview with Loretta Lynch at this Phoenix or not Phoenix, this Aspen Festival. What are they at? South by Southwest Festival. What is they in Aspen? Is it Sundance? Are they at the Sundance Film Festival? What's going on? What are they doing? But they marched Jonathan Capar out there. NBC was like, Jonathan, you got to get out there. Washington Post is like, you got to get out there. Because Jonathan Capar is Washington Post and MSNBC, NBC. You know who Jonathan Capar is? He's the black kid, the black gay kid. Just gets all riled up about everything Republican. I mean, you just mention Republican to him, and he's just like, ah! It's like somebody took his show tunes away. Ah! Loses his mind. So the media is just like, oh, we got to cover it. Ah! They're trying to figure out a way to maneuver around it. They really are. It's great to watch them do it. It's great. And then Loretta Lynch comes out and she's going to recuse herself, but she's not going to recuse herself. She gives this statement and she does this little dance with Capar. Which is bizarre because the things that she says, I thought was already being implemented. I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. like we talked about yesterday, Republicans could never get away with the stuff that Democrats get away with. It's just impossible. Because they don't control the media, it makes it impossible. Democrats get away with all this stuff because they control the media. If none of this stuff is covered, we don't know what happens. We've had this discussion 1,000 times before. We've had this discussion 1,000 times before. You know, 25 years ago, there was, murder and mayhem and death and destruction all across the world. All across the United States, you had children being abducted, children being raped. You've had all of the things that happen now, except we just didn't know about the stuff because there wasn't 24-hour news channels. There wasn't the internet. There was no way to know what happened in Minnesota. There was no way to know what happened in Tallahassee, Florida. People in Tallahassee, Florida would know about a horrific crime or some outrageous story about a mother who kills her kids. And every once in a while, it would make a national story because it would be so over the top. But for the most part, your nightly world news had 30 minutes. Brokaw had 30 minutes. Rather had 30 minutes. They had 30 minutes to give you an update of what was going on. And they didn't have the time to cover every horrific, crappy thing that was taking place. But that just shows you how different and how impactful the media has become in our lives. Back then, the way you controlled the media was simple because there wasn't much of it. Now, because there's so much media, there's so many outlets, you really got to work to control it. So the left is like, oh, man. Man, how do we maneuver out of this? This is so bad. This is so bad. Unbelievably bad. Remember, Republicans had John Ashcroft recuse himself. Or maybe not Republicans, maybe just the good sense of Ashcroft and the Bush administration during that Karl Rove dust up. Remember the Karl Rove investigation? Remember that? And Ashcroft said, I can't be party to this. I mean, I got my job because of Ashcroft. Ashcroft was part of the administration vetting potential attorney generals. I can't be part of this Rove investigation. So rather, Republicans forced it, rather whoever forced it, it was done. Democrats, nope. This president, nope. This attorney general, nope. That's how arrogant they are. Why? Because they control the media. Because they can march out Jonathan Capehart and have him ask softball-like questions, let Loretta Lynch pontificate. Don't push back. Create a forum so people will go, oh, yeah. And then the issue's done because she's answered the questions. But I mean, Jesus. Forget the optics. Just think in real terms. If Ashcroft and that whole situation was something that he would have a hard time being impartial to, what the hell is going on in Loretta Lynch's mind? If Ashcroft looked at the Karl Rove situation and said, you know, it's going to be hard for me to be part of this case. I mean, gosh, I have some loyalty to the guy, and yeah, I know I'm supposed to put all that at the door, but geez, I work technically for the Bush administration. I was put here by the Bush administration. I was put here by Karl Rove. I was put here by Dick Cheney. I know when it comes right down to it, if it's up to me pushing that ball over the goal line and I'm only an inch away, I'm not going to be able to. I mean, that's what Ashcroft was going through. Now, flip that to Loretta Lynch. Flip that to Loretta Lynch. She got her start from Bill Clinton. She got her start from Bill Clinton. She's a prosecutor in New York, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton put her in a position to eventually get the appointment to be the attorney general. I mean, there's real history with Bill Clinton. There's real history with Hillary Clinton. I mean, if Ashcroft had that sense of loyalty to Karl Rove and the Bush people, what do you think Loretta Lynch has? I mean, seriously, what do you think Loretta Lynch has? And we would never have known about this if somebody didn't tip off a local reporter in Phoenix. Somebody tipped them off. Maybe it was the Sanders people. Seriously, maybe it was the Bernie Sanders people. Maybe it was the Trump people. Wasn't Phoenix. It is the home of McCain. It is the home of Arpaio. It is the home of Jan Brewer. I mean, it is the home of a bunch of Republicans, but somebody tipped off that local reporter. Somebody tipped off that local reporter because they knew that you couldn't tip off Wolf Blitzer. You couldn't tip off Jake Tapper, Dana Bash. They knew you couldn't tip off anybody in the CNN, MSNBC, even the Fox crew, as far as an A-teamer goes. Couldn't tip off an A-teamer. Because that would make its rounds. That would make its rounds. So, we'd all be talking about, I don't know, Bangladesh right now. So, the K-PAR and a Lynch interview. I got the transcripts here. I'm just going to read you a little, just to give you a little taste. But you got to admit something. When people go, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have the judgment. He doesn't have the temperament. All these politicians, when they talk about Trump, the judgment, the temperament, you know, the instinct, he doesn't have what it takes to be a strong leader. He doesn't have what it takes to be the president of the United States. Okay. I'm not sure what that means in comparison to the Attorney General of the United States of America, to a former president of the United States. I mean, think about the judgment. Think about that word, judgment. You got Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton having a secret meeting on the tarmac for 30 plus minutes. Loretta Lynch is in charge of a federal investigation that is going on with Bill Clinton's wife, who just happens to be running for president of the United States and just happens to be the only person standing in the way of Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. A man that the left calls Hitler. A man that the left calls Mussolini. A man that the left says would destroy this country. And Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton think nothing of it. Matter of fact, Loretta Lynch says, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have had the meeting. My bad. So that's good judgment? That's having good judgment? Donald Trump doesn't have the judgment. He doesn't have what it takes to be president. Really? Wow. Okay. Hillary Clinton sets up private servers, private email address that the left tries to play up like no big deal. And they dismiss the whole private server. Like we've said countless times before, a private email address goes to a server. If I have a Yahoo, if I have a Hotmail, a Gmail, if I'm using an email account like that versus a .gov, my emails are going somewhere that's not in my basement, that's not in my toilet, my bathroom. Hillary Clinton set something up that goes through her. So when someone says, hey, we need all your emails, she goes, okay, let me get them for you. Here you go. All it is one. Yeah, that's all I got, one email. Well, how do we know for sure? Because you're going to have to take my word. That's why. Oh, okay. So, judgment. And when Hillary Clinton gets caught, she goes, you know what? I made a poor choice in doing what I did. And if I had to do it again, I wouldn't do it that way. Like, you got people that are supposed to be the most qualified, the most just respected, and the judgment impeccable. Man, these people are dropping for sure touchdowns left and right. And they're pointing fingers at Donald Trump going, he doesn't have what it takes. Talk about judgment. Jeez. Loretta Lynch, just oblivious to what's going on. I didn't think anything of it. You didn't think anything of it? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So they march Jonathan Capehart out. He does the little sit-down interview. So, having the highest integrity, utmost solid judgment. When people heard what went down in Phoenix, a lot of people are like, I mean, friends, supporters, backers are saying, what on earth was she thinking? Talking to Bill Clinton. So what on earth were you thinking, girlfriend? What happened? I know I'm going over the top with, I'm sorry. It's not professional. Okay. All right, I'll do it again. Having the highest integrity, the utmost solid judgment. See how the left marches out the interviewer right out of the gate. You have the, because what he's saying is, you have the highest integrity, the utmost solid judgment. When people heard what went down in Phoenix, a lot of people are like, friends, supporters, backers are saying, what on earth was she thinking? Talking to Bill Clinton. So what on earth were you thinking? And when they did it, when they did this little exchange, the crowd starts laughing. It's funny. Huh, see how we spin it? See, everybody, it's just fun. Come on. Remember, they're just talking about the grandkids. Talking about golf. She's asking Bill how he likes to clean his balls. Golf balls. Stop being dirty, guys. So then Loretta Lynch goes, well, that's the question of the day, isn't it? I think that's a perfectly reasonable question. It's the question that is called by what happened in Phoenix, because people have also wondered and raised questions about my role in the ultimate resolution of matters involving the investigation into the State Department emails. And to the extent that people have questions about that, about my role in that, certainly, my meeting with him raises questions and concerns. See, that's the talk that everybody wants Trump to do. When people go, Trump, he's horrible. He just makes jokes. He just talks nonsense. He talks like a sixth grader. He talks. They want Trump to sound like this. I'm halfway through this transcript that she hasn't said. She basically just reframed the question, didn't use Hillary Clinton's name, and made it sound very measured, very precise, very, very exact, very official. But she didn't say anything. And so, believe me, I completely get that question. And I think it is the question of the day. But I think the issue is, again, what is my role and how that matter is going to be resolved? So let me be clear on how that is going to be resolved. See, she still hasn't answered the question. When K-Par goes, what happened? You have great judgment. You have this integrity that's off the charts. And your friends and your backers and your colleagues, everybody's saying, what were you thinking? What happened? Why did you take that meeting with Bill Clinton? She hasn't answered the question. She's not answered the question. I have gotten that question a lot also over time, and we usually don't go into those deliberations, but I do think it's important that people see what the process is like. As I have always indicated, the matters being handled by career agents and investigators with the Department of Justice, they have had it since the beginning. They are. And then K-Park goes, which predates your tenure as Attorney General. See, they're setting up the narrative. She doesn't answer the question like, what were you thinking? Why are you meeting with Bill Clinton? She didn't answer that, but they're setting up the narrative of, listen, I'm just a messenger. This investigation is in the hands of people who've been on the job long before I got here. Lynch goes on. Yes, it predates my tenure as Attorney General. It is the same team, and they are acting independently. They follow the law. They follow the facts. That team will make findings. That is to say, they will come up with a chronologically of what happened, the factual scenario. They will make recommendations as to resolve. To resolve what those facts lead to. The recommendations will be reviewed by career supervisors in the Department of Justice and in the FBI and by the FBI director. And then, as is the common process, they present it to me, fully expect to accept their recommendations. I fully expect. That's not, they will present it to me and then I will accept their recommendation and either prosecute or not prosecute. See that wiggle room? Or am I the only one that sees the wiggle room? And then K-Part goes, what's interesting here is you say you fully expect to accept their recommendations. One thing people were saying this morning when the news broke was that you were, quote, recusing yourself from having any kind of role in the final determination. Is that the case? Is that what you're saying? Recusal would mean I wouldn't even be briefed on what the findings were or what the actions going forward would be. And while I don't have a role in those coming up with the findings or making those recommendations and on how to go forward, I will be briefed on it and I will be accepting their recommendations. Interesting how K-Par and Lynch are playing with these words, isn't it? And then K-Par continues, when you say again, this must be the journalist in me. You know, I am such a great journalist. Yeah. And accepting to me means here, Madam Attorney General, here are our findings and you completely accept them wholeheartedly and issue them to the public, or you accept them, look them over, and then make your own determination as to what the final determination will be. Lynch, no. The final determination as to how to proceed will be contained within the recommendations in the report, in whatever format the team puts it together. That has not been resolved. Whatever report they provide to me, there will be a review of their investigation. There will be a review of what they have found and determined to have happened and occurred. And it will be their determinations as to how they feel the case should proceed. So Loretta Lynch did not recuse herself. Sounds like Loretta Lynch has told everyone that basically it's up to the FBI. It's up to James Comey. It's up to the guys that refuse to track terrorists because they don't want, I should reframe that. The president tells them how to act as far as investigating terrorists because he doesn't want them to be profiling. He doesn't want them to be using words Islamic terror. James Comey and the FBI, who work for Barack Hussein Obama. It's just amazing. It really is amazing. It is. It really is amazing. Every aspect of this situation is amazing. Seriously, every aspect of this situation. And it's funny. They've got Bangladesh. I mean, seriously, that they are live. Every channel's live with what's going on in Bangladesh. See, they don't gotta talk about Loretta Lynch. They don't gotta talk about the emails. They don't gotta talk about her meeting. No. No. Oh, man. It's like I said in the beginning of the show, the left gets away with so much stuff. Like, it's amazing what they get away with. It's amazing what they get away with. And they would never get away with it if they didn't control the media. I mean, how do you conduct impartial news stories? How do you conduct impartial investigations when you're in the tank for a political party? I mean, seriously, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, it goes against who we are as humans. It really does. Guys, that's why in a court, a wife doesn't have to testify against her husband. Now, I know that's somewhat of a jump talking about Jake Tapper and a job he has to do as far as covering Republicans and Democrats, but it's not that far of a jump. You're still on the same playing field. You're still playing the same sport. It's human nature. It's human nature. You know, if we're into music or we're into movies, there's a record or there's a band or there's a movie that's been played out. Oh, I've seen that movie 50 times. I love that movie. Every time that movie comes on, you watch it. Or, I love that band. I love the Rolling Stones. I've seen them 20 times. Oh, I love The Boss. I love Bruce Springsteen. I've seen them probably 40 times. I've got the record. Oh, I love them. I mean, it's human nature. So if you're, one has to assume if you're in the news business, if you're in the media business, you're also into politics. If you're somebody that is in a field that creates news or information for the masses, you're someone that has passion about politics, right? I mean, if you're somebody that creates outlets for information, you're into politics. And if that's the case, you're going to have that wife-husband mentality or that favorite movie mentality or rock band, rap music, whatever mentality. You're going to have that passion. And if that's the case, how the hell do you cover a story or run your show impartial? How do you get a piece of information and not go, oh, God, this just kills my party. This just kills to run or win the presidency. If I can bury it, I'll bury it. If I can't bury it, this is how I'll present it. I mean, if you don't think that is a real situation, that is a plausible scenario, you're not intelligent. But if you're listening to this show, I know you're intelligent because we only have intelligent people that listen to the program. We do. Only intelligent people listen to this program. No dum-dums listen to this program. So, the Democrats get away with this because they control the media. Because the Brooke Baldwins and the Wolf Blitzers, they're all libtards. Am I right? I know that's such a juvenile word when we're having such a serious discussion. But it's the truth. It's the truth. There's your update on the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. There's your update on the spin by the libs and how they're maneuvering around this landmine and how they're kicking the can to the FBI and Comey. So when they come back, because ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to come back with an indictment. You know that. I know a bunch of my conservative friends, a bunch of my Republican friends are like, oh, it's going to be awesome. She's not going to be indicted. Do you understand the Pandora's box that is opened? Clinton is indicted. I mean, Obama is vulnerable if Hillary Clinton is indicted, because you have to assume that during her tenure, she had to have sent emails to Barack Hussein Obama. He had to have gotten emails. Now, I know he's the president and he's busy and maybe looking at the header, looking at where the email's coming from is, below his pay grade. But one would think at least one time over the course of 4 years, somebody within his inner circle. Kind of funny. Nobody's really asked or prodded David Axelrod on this. But one would think somebody would have went, hey, Mr. President, you know, Hillary's using a private email address.
What? What do you mean?
Well, I'm sure you haven't noticed because you're busy, you know, fighting terror and making sure that, migrants aren't coming in the country full of tuberculosis, things like that. But she's using a private email address. So everything she's communicating with us about, everything that she's communicating with other people about, is not being saved. It's not being archived. If you asked her for emails, or you asked her if she Clinton Foundation business or fundraising business, while she's also on the clock and on the job here, you could never really accurately get to the bottom of that, Mr. President. You can't double check her work. She controls every single email.
Oh, I see. That might be a bit of a problem.
Somebody, you would think somebody somewhere, just anywhere, would have brought that up. So if she's indicted, the President of the United States is also going to get jammed up. David Axelrod's going to get jammed up. Everybody in that inner circle is going to get jammed up. Anybody part of the Obama team is going to get jammed up. Because they're all going to have to go, I never noticed anything, or I did notice, or I knew, or it's just Pandora's box. I mean, why the hell do you think news came out yesterday that, and this is big, again, it's downplayed. Seriously, it's downplayed. White House, or I should say, the Justice Department, they all are talking about 2 years. 2 years for a whole bunch of Hillary Clinton emails to see the light of day. I mean, we're talking about 2018. The Justice Department has filed a motion, you know, with the courts on behalf of the State Department, seeking to keep thousands and thousands of correspondence between Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's aides and the Clinton Foundation. So they're saying, give us until October 2018, give us till 2018, until we bust out these emails between Michael Fuchs, Melanie Verrier, Cheryl Mills, and Huma Abedin. It's about 6,000 emails. But now, it's ballooned to 34,000. And they need more time. They just need more time. Need more time. So the question again is, why? Why? What's the problem? Oh, because it will affect the outcome of the presidential race. I mean, guys. When one side, okay, when liberals, when the media is saying the guy running against Hillary Clinton is Hitler, is Mussolini, is worse than George Wallace, do you really think? They're going to let anything slip through the cracks that could turn that 2 or 3 million people that could cost the Democrats the election? Do you really think? Come on. Come on, man. You have people on the left that are actually saying, listen, and we talked about this in Vox, Daily Beast. You've got these writers, you got these so-called journalists taking to Twitter and saying, hey, it's perfectly fine to riot at these Trump rallies. It's perfectly fine to throw rocks. It's perfectly fine to get violent. Because we're getting violent. We're throwing rocks. We are raging not against this mythological machine. You know, we're being anarchists. We're raging against Adolf Hitler. And if it's perfectly fine to kill baby Hitler so he doesn't grow up to be adult Hitler, then guess what? It's perfectly fine to riot and beat people up at a Trump rally because we have to fight. Attack the new Hitler. Hell, one of these cretins, this guy who worked for NBC Universal, called the kid who tried to shoot Trump at a rally a good guy? A good guy with a gun. So they're never, ever going to do something that could cost the Democrats a few million votes. Remember, a couple hundred thousand votes in Florida, a couple hundred thousand votes in Ohio, a couple hundred thousand votes in Pennsylvania. You throw in a couple hundred thousand here, a couple hundred thousand there, and it's over. Yeah, President Trump. So the Obama administration, they're not going to let anything come out that could affect Hillary Clinton's run. It's just not going to happen. I mean, the Justice Department has filed a motion on behalf of the State Department to keep thousands of emails secret until October. So Hillary wins. Huma Biden's in the White House. Cheryl Miller, they're all in the White House. And then all these emails get leaked. They come out finally. Shouldn't say leak. They all just come out. Or who knows if they ever come out. Because you'll have President Hillary Clinton, and she will be in charge of the Justice Department. She'll be in charge of the State Department. Those things might never come out. All of the double-dipping from Huma Abedin. She's working for the State Department. She's working for the Clinton Foundation. I mean, she was double-dipping. Cheryl Mills was double-dipping. So you see all these people that were getting paid by the government, they were all getting paid by justice. Or I should say State Department. And then they're getting paid by the Clinton Foundation. It's the same thing with that computer programmer, that Pagliano. He's working for the State Department, doing computer work for them. And Hillary Clinton was paying them. The Clinton Foundation was paying them. So you got Huma Abedin working for this company, Tenio, T-E-N-E-O Holdings. She's working for them, okay? So she's working for them while she's working for the State Department. I mean, it's just amazing. Really is. It's just amazing. And remember, they get away with this because the media is not going to cover this. They're not going to cover this. What are you kidding me? They're not going to cover this. They're absolutely not going to cover this. They're not going to have panels about it. Just not going to happen. And remember, the media doesn't cover it. It didn't happen. Just think back to the 70s and 80s. Remember what I said. You had child abductions. You had mass murder. You had the horrible things that happen now. And in some cases, it was worse. Some cases it was worse. At certain times, crime was a lot higher than it was now. But again, most of us never, ever knew because it wasn't covered. So if the media doesn't cover all of the stuff that Obama and the Obama crew are doing to make sure Hillary Clinton gets elected, then we don't know what the hell is happening. We don't know about emails with Huma and Cheryl Mills not being released until 2018. We don't know about double dipping. We don't know about that stuff. The media doesn't cover it. It didn't happen. Remember that. Remember that, guys. Remember that. The media doesn't cover it. It did not happen. And that's how the left wins.